Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day and for this precious book. As we open, we pray and know that it's food for our soul and gives us direction in life. And we pray today to be a blessing to all and also be something to lay a foundation, maybe for even seniors and others who may be graduating college in different places. And we understand their paths that God have us to trod and go. And the best path is God's path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I was thinking about this. The story used to go that they had some people, if you'll be turning to Proverbs chapter 3 with me, that some people were going to pray years ago in the farmland that for rain, and it rained a good while, come to prayer that night, one dear saint of God, a lady came in, had an umbrella with her. Asked her, what did she bring that for? It's not raining yet. She said, I came expecting it. Amen. I love, yes, sister. Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing? Amen. Praise God. That's a good song. If you have, say it again, look today to give some instructions. I hope to be a blessing, not only to ourselves, but to our young people who are graduating. You know, we live in an unusual age. I read recently, I don't know if you read this or not, someone said that one in three people were a little bit off key and a little bit crazy. If that be the case, look at that person next to you on your left. Look at that person to your right. If they look okay, well, you know who it is, don't you? Amen. I also heard where there was a teacher teaching the second and third grade, and she asked the class one day about when kids did something wrong, that they have a timeout in their home, and she said, I just wondered, do you have a timeout to get in your home? And nobody said anything. And she said again, do you have a timeout time in your home? Nobody said anything. I can't believe any of you don't have a timeout time in your home. One little fellow said, teacher, we don't have a timeout time in our home, but we have a knockout time in our home. So I hope that's not the case here. But anyhow, let's look at what Solomon says first, and then we'll look what David had to say. We know this by heart. In fact, we sing these verses sometimes, especially the verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 3. Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. That's very powerful. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Then he said, well, you think that'd be enough? But no, he says, lean not on your own understanding. You know, leaning on your understanding can destroy what you trust God for if you're not careful. Because Satan has access to the flesh. And then he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I've sung that song many times. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And I just sing it through, and it's a wonderful verse of Scripture to sing. Then I say, oh, notice he said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. That's very important. Now, if you will, I want you to look with me in Psalm 16 real fast, right? I'm going to read a couple places and move real fast. In Psalm 16, if you look down about verse 11, David said this, thou wilt show me the path of life. And so, in all that which not him, he should direct thy path. If you acknowledge him, then the path of life will that be which God himself would have you to trot on. And he said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. If you look with me, go over to Psalm chapter 37 for just a moment and a few verses. And notice back in Psalm chapter 37. And if you look with me in verse 23 through 25, again, David said this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Though he fall, and I love this, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now, that goes back to help me understand that when God says it to his people, Jesus said he never leave us, forsake us. That notes helps me to understand that this verse, even in David's time, though he might have understood what we understand because of the book of Hebrews, but he tells us here, he said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him in his hand, or with his hand. Verse 25, then I love this. I would expect verse 25 because of verse 23 and 24. David said, I have been young and am old. Yet I have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I could say that myself. I was young and old. But I've not seen any of God's people, especially, that didn't have some ways of God getting something to them when they had a need. And sometime prayer bought that. There's been many of God's people who had been blessed, touched to help someone who they thought was unblessed, and God used you to be a blessing to someone that he could bless through you and through me. And I thank God for words in the scripture that's like that. Now, if you go back to Proverbs chapter, again, 16 with me, and look at a few verses, and then we get right into the message. In Proverbs chapter 16, if you look with me in verse 3, Solomon said, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Isn't that amazing? There's so many times one person said, "I want the will of God for my life," but do you commit your life to him for that will? Because God's not going to give his will to someone who don't want it. He'll tell us what it is. And these scriptures are telling us there's things that God said he'd do for us, but there's things we have to do to get that to come to us. And God does that for a purpose. Not that he couldn't just beat us over the head and give it to us, but he wants us to know that if we obey what he says to do, then he's going to do something for us to help us in life that others don't do that, won't see it. But they may criticize you because you got it, because you obeyed God, and maybe they didn't. And then he goes on and said this, look with me if you will, in verse 7 through 9. "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." I've seen people just cuss me out, good fashion, because I'd be somewhere just witness for the Lord, or talking for the Lord to hear something later, and then years later, come back and someone say, "I'm sorry." God keeps his word, folks. God keeps a record. And then he says, "Better is little with righteousness." Young folks, listen to this. "Better is little with righteousness than great revenues without right." You know, people nowadays saying, "Well, God bless me." They leave God completely out of the picture. "God bless me. Look how God blessed me." And God is 100 miles from them because they're not obeying him in any form of fashion. But here God is telling us, "Better is little righteousness than revenue without right." That is to have righteousness of God obeying him, and that which is to be done in the long run will produce more than that which in people would say when they disobey him. And then he says in verse 9, to clarify, man's heart devises his way. When he's saying that man's heart sets his direction, man sets his direction to go in a, his heart to go in a direction. God has set everything out there, but the final choice, what we make with his inspiration or without his inspiration, well, to go in a direction. That's what Solomon is saying. A man sets his heart, man's heart devises his way. That is, he sets his heart in a direction. But watch the latter part of that verse. But the conjunction, the Lord directs his steps. In other words, if a man sets his heart in a direction, God directs his steps. That tells me this. If a child of God wants God's will and sets his heart in the direction that God wants him to go, God will direct his step towards that goal, and he'll accomplish things for God that he never thought he could accomplish. On the other hand, if a child of God misses something and sets his heart in a direction away from God, God will still direct his step to get him back online to do what God had him to do later. In other words, God is always working on us for his purpose and his principles, though we may be the blessing of those, get the blessings of those things at the time during our life. And one thing is for sure, if you're any age on you, you look back over your life and you'll find in the beginning a lot of things are different than they are now. And you've seen things now that God did then you didn't see when it happened, if you'll be honest with God. You'll find that God Almighty did something back there which he blew it all to pieces, but he still held it together. And down to the ages, you look where you came through and how you came through it. If you'll be honest, God did something back there you see now you never saw before. And he's letting us know, "I will direct your steps if he will set your heart to obey me." Now, when I look at this, I want to talk to you this morning a few minutes on God's path for your life. God's path for your life. And I want to say to the seniors, congratulations to the graduates. Most of you have stepped upon the stage and already received your diplomas. When you did, there are two big things that started happening for you at that moment. Maybe you didn't realize it, but you will later. I mean, you have finished a significant accomplishment with 12 plus years of hard work and dedication in your life. And studying is hard work, believe me, I know that. And if you lack light, well, it's hard to understand. It took a lot more work than some people who looked like geniuses when they were just average, I guess. But anyhow, you'll be closing one chapter of your life and open up another chapter ahead of you. So the main question that I have for you today is simply this. What memories would you carry with you from where you come the last 12 years from here on in your life? When what path will these memories make you or take you on during your life's journey in adulthood? Because in Proverbs 16, verse 9, the scripture says, a man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. So I want to talk to you about God's path, how to stay on that path, wherever it might lead you in your future. And by the way, folks, this message can be for anybody in any age, because we're all still on that path. We've not reached the end yet, and the path from here where we're going may be better than the path where we came from if we understand God is right and we're wrong and we have to obey Him, not ourselves. So I look at this and I see some wonderful things in studying this message for weeks now. When you think about this, when you got your diploma, high school is over with. Man, isn't that wonderful? I've accomplished something in my life. When you got your diploma, young people, there's no more grades, no more tests, no more drama, no more, you know, even relationship to some degrees you had before. There's no more, you can just name it in there. I am free, free at last. Boy, you're deceived. You're stepping another plateau. Then the person in here got an age on you, maybe whatever you had in the past, you've lost some good things, and you wish sometimes you were back there. I didn't think I'd ever like the farm. Boy, I love the farm right now. I'll be honest with you. I just asked my wife. I couldn't wait. I'd get away from the farm. We didn't have a tractor. We had a mule, and believe me, it's a lot harder to follow a mule than it is a tractor. But I'd love to be back there now, because I see some things now that I didn't see then. I see that that's a good life. It's a hard life, but it's a good life. And so here, so where does your path go from here? If Jesus Christ is not your personal Savior, there's a lot of uncertainty about that question. Because without His Savior, you head down a path will never accomplish anything much, even though the world may say you did. Without God, nothing's worth accomplishing. Because in the end, it's not going to last forever. It's going to last to a time. This environment we have and this creation we have is disintegrated by God destroying it. Anything that's going to last is going to be what God did through us for eternity. And so He needs to be first. And because you cannot move forward on God's path if you're not first a Christian, there's a lot of uncertainties in Christ, even when Christ is your Savior. But it's much more when you look at the lamp that goes before you, your step, and the light that goes to the path. And I just mentioned that. And you begin to look at 80 years old back when you were 17 or 18 year old. And that's a lot of territory. And I believe that you can find some good things in those days if you look. Just being alive, especially in school. Today I want to talk to you about how to seek God's direction on the path that He wants you to walk in. You cannot move forward on God's path if you're not first a Christian. Now, there's people today say, oh, yes, I can. No, you can't, because you don't know God's path unless He shows it to you. And unless He shows it to you, you're not going to get it. And He will not show it to you in the sense as He would as a child of God. He joys to give us information to eat upon His word, to feed the new man, so we might know in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. Sometimes, I'm glad to keep that promise, because sometimes I get out of harness. Sometimes you get out of harness. And when you do, you're not doing all that God said to do. I guarantee you, if you get out of harness, spiritual harness, you're not doing all that God would have you to do. But I'll tell you, God will keep things in such a way and move in your heart to cause you to understand. When you look back, suddenly things will be different. There's things now, right now in my life, I see more so that I should not have done than I did when I did them. And God's that way. By the way, folks, when you got saved, you didn't know everything about Christianity. You didn't know. I didn't know everything what God wanted done. But I tell you, after 60 years, I began to learn a few things. But I don't know everything now. You say, I know that. I know you know that. what I'm saying to you, God teaches us day by day, and we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, but there comes a time you look back and you say, well, I thank God, well, I shouldn't have done that, what I did. I don't understand. I thought it was good about now. God gives us enlightenment about our life. So let me give you three quick points on God's path for your life. Number one, God orders the steps of a good man. That's what he said in Psalm 26, verse 23. Did you know that the journey, if you're going to take a 1,000-mile journey, that journey will start with one step. Without the one step, you don't get the extra 1,000 miles. Someone said when that, I'm thinking about this and about it, someone's talking about taking steps. Someone said, not me, I drive a car. Not me, I fly in a plane. Well, you got to take a step to get to the car or the plane. It's not coming to you, you got to go to it. So whatever you do, you plan a trip, you'll have to make the first step before you begin to even get to the end. Thank you, Lord. Two or three, believe me, they've been there, amen. So I believe it all in my heart. This means that in life there are lots of steps to be taken, and each step will get you to a different plateau in life. High school is just one step that you have completed in your life. And many of us, some of the college and otherwise, and we are still growing. We're still growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. The next step may be college for these, maybe a job, or maybe both. You can do both. Thank God I was able to do that. I was able to take apprenticeship and begin to go to college and work at the same time. So the next step for you comes after the last step has been made. Psalms 37, verse 23. The Bible says, steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Isn't it amazing? When God orders the steps of us, he delights in our ways. And by the way, we would delight in our ways too. If our steps are ordered, then we must assume that there must be some planning involved in some way. By the way, your life must have some plans in it. And that'll be the direction that you try to go. You can't do anything much without making plans. You never accomplish anything much without plans. You've heard me say in the last few weeks, God is a tremendous planner. Did you know God has already got everything planned out from the beginning to the end? Did you know he knows as much what's going to happen 1,000 years from now if it's going on as he does right today? You know, nothing ever catches God by surprise. He's in charge, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what this world may think. He's in charge, and he brings it about. Why? The only thing that matters in God's mind is his will and his purpose. And everything works to that or is distorted if it don't fit into that. And thank God Jesus Christ has done a lot for us that we don't deserve. So your plans do not just happen. They are put in place by planning carefully. And that's the reason we see again that Proverbs 16, verse 9, he says, a man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps. So God orders the steps of a good man. Number two, the Lord directs our path. We said that, Proverbs 3, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The key to unlocking God's direction is by acknowledging him in all our ways. The first part of that verse gives the last. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and then he shall direct thy path. Ladies and gentlemen, don't take that halfway. If God said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, then that's where the last verse comes in important to you. If you say, well, I just halfway acknowledge him, don't expect the last part of that verse to take place. God keeps his word in the way he does things and says things. In all thy ways acknowledge him. How are you going to know to acknowledge him? I'll tell you one thing, you can't stay out of this book. If you stay out of this book, you won't know what to acknowledge him. What you hear at church won't be enough to know in all things where you're at, because no way in the world from this pulpit or teacher or teaching somewhere can hit every place where you be living at, but God can. We hit things in general and make our decision, but God does specific things. And in all thy ways acknowledge him. And when you do, he said, he will direct your path. Now, after high school, I know you probably felt like I did. I mean, you're on top of the world. Don't you feel kind of on top of the world today? Maybe not taking your picture this morning, but certainly. There's something about it. You ought to feel good because you accomplished a great thing. 12 years is a big hunk out of your life. If not, just when you get 60 and you'll look back and you'll say, boy, I wish I had it back sometimes. But what I'm saying to you, you might say, boy, this is great. I'm finally off on my own. Maybe not quite, but you're looking for that. I can go where I want to do and do what I want to do. No one's going to badger me about rules and regulations anymore. I am on my own. No, you're never on your own. Why? Try to go through a stoplight without stopping. Ladies and gentlemen, let's face it. We have guidelines every way we go. It's good to be able to make decisions, and as an adult, we do that. Hardest thing that I find as a parent is when your children get to age where they're adults, they have to make decisions for their own. And that's the reason I believe God says, when you're young, obey your parents. When you get a certain age, you honor them, but you don't have to obey everything they say. It might be good. If it's right. Let me clarify it. If it's right. What I'm seeing is, though, this is great. Keep in mind, one of the worst mistakes that you ever make in your life, it will be not seeking God when you probably need Him the most. You may set your directions. If you're a Christian, He said God would direct your path. Not activities. They're not direct your path, your degrees, or your careers, or your others, or boyfriends, or girlfriends, or vocation. God directs your path. And when God does these things, direct your path. These things like activities and degrees and careers and boyfriend, girlfriend, vocation, all these things will come in your path like they should. So you make a good, godly, conscientious decision about who God has set before you in that way. If you let God direct your feet to walk in His path, you will be taken care of in your whole life. You may not see it because I'm going to be honest with you. Things happened in my life that I cannot understand. It seemed like it shouldn't happen. I mean, when you're young, you say, boy, I'm going to serve God, and you try your best, you'll find you'll hit a hole out there somewhere or another, and you wonder why God let me get in this hole, because it don't look like I'm going to get out of it. But there's always a way out when I learn what I need to learn at that time. So when you do this, you let God, let your path be directed by God and nothing else. Don't let it be directed by anyone else unless it's God's word backing it up. Number three, four ways that you can find and stay on God's path. We talked about now. Number one, God created the steps of a good man. He teaches us that. Also, two, God, the Lord directs our path. But four ways you can find God's path and stay on it. And the first one, always follow God's instructions. But wait a minute. You can't follow those instructions unless you know. So that means you're going to have a daily diet of this Bible. If you hear and go by what you hear, so much today, so many ways coming to us from the news media, from religious programs, from hundreds of different types of religion, so much is there that can catch our attention that looks right, but it may not be right. The only thing that will prove to us what is right if God reveals it in this book is His precious word. So always follow God's instructions. In other words, it seems that it's easier. And I can say this now. It seems that it's easier to follow the instructions in everything else in this life except God's. You know why? This flesh loves this world. That's the reason we go down and take it to heaven. If this flesh could be fitted for heaven, we wouldn't have to get a glorified body. So this flesh is going to the dust. It enjoys this life. And if you hear anything or see anything that satisfies this flesh, it will override your spirit just like that unless you let God Almighty give you what He has to help direct your paths. And so you'll find that it's seek God's instructions. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 tells us this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to look at that verse, circle that verse, and read it from time to time, because that will cause you to have the incentive to study this precious book, the word of God. So you seek God's instructions. I'm telling you, you seek God's narrow way. Because it's a narrow way. You're not the first person to have to struggle with sex and drug and alcohol and other various temptations that seek to take a person away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because those things will take away from Christ. And if it takes away from what Christ did, it takes away from God. So don't follow the path that's wide and easy, which will lead you away from God. Stay with the path that will be narrow and difficult, yet lead you to God and His plan for your life, according to Matthew chapter 7. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 with me and look what Jesus said in two verses. Verse 13, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein. Now let's look at this gate. This gate is wide. In fact, this gate is so wide you may not even know when you go through it. It's so wide you can't even get a feeling when you go through this wide gate. But notice what he said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Have you ever been somewhere that was narrow? You know, I don't. The older I get, things get narrow when I'm driving a car. Did you find yourself that way? I just go to the bank, had no trouble, right in between those joints or to those posts. Boy, now I have to stop, stick my head out the window. I have to do a whole lot of things. But it's the same distance. But when it's narrow, it looks different. When it's wide, you don't even worry about it. That's what about evil. That's why Satan's way. It's so wide, it doesn't catch your attention anytime. God has to do something somewhere else. But the narrow gate, that's the reason Satan fights it so hard. The narrow gate, somebody who goes through that has chosen to go through that, that God has given the offer to do so. And he's trying to stop them. And he said, there be few that find it. By the way, I believe that's true, folks. When I read that, broad is the way, and one gate, and narrow the other, it lets me see there's going to be a lot less going to heaven than going to hell. Jesus said that. By the way, this hadn't changed because people changed the Bible. Folks, let me tell you something. How many heard this week that they have a new Bible on the scene now written by women? It's on the news, by the way. Women professors theology, a number of them got together and wrote a new Bible. You'll hear about it. Look it up. Wrote a Bible. Guess what it's about? How God uses women and uses the scripture to change around. It fits why God uses women. Oh, me. Lord, I'm not that bright, but I saw that. I heard it. Look it up. Somebody look it up. Got the time to do it and tell us what you see. Isn't that amazing? Why would they do that? Well, everything's changing, isn't it? Yes, preacher. Thank you. Everything is changing. Amen. God help us to see. So again, I know we're getting close, I'm about through. Don't follow the path that is wide and easy, which will lead you away from God. Stay with the path that will be narrow and difficult, and yet lead you to God and his plan. Number three, do not seek strange ways that lead you away from God. Idols can come in many forms, like your idol. You can become an idol to yourself. Becoming yourself. Well, I don't know, maybe schoolwork or money work or college or boyfriend or girlfriend or vocation. Whatever form that your idol takes, it will prevent you from following God's path for you if you're not careful. And believe that's good language to listen to. Satan knows exactly. He won't come to you with something big, probably a lot of times, but something little to slip in. It becomes big later because we didn't know how to handle it at the time. Number four, always try to plan with God's plan in mind or his path in mind. This means that your plan for your life may not turn out like you thought it would. And many times it didn't, and it don't. But I want you to notice it'll turn out exactly as God knew it would. Let me clarify that. Let God help you work out your potential that he sees. And when you do, you'll find out you'll do more than what you thought you could do. And it'll be right. God sees the potential. So in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." I love that. "I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you an expected end." God knows the plans that he has for you and he has for me. Psalm 16, verse 11. David said, "Thou wilt show me the path in life. Thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." God's plans are found in his word for our lives. That means this, I'm glad, though in the early years I studied without just knowing, but I'm glad to know now this book studied has God's plan from creation through eternity. And he's got our plan laid out in that where we fall into the family of God to see those things that he wants to be done. Sometimes when we ask God, what is he up to? I don't know, I wonder for myself. Because I've asked many a times, more so years ago than now. I mean, sometimes I ask, what God are you up to? What is God up to when he changes me or challenges me and my family to move to Clayton? What is he up to when God allows people to challenge my Christian morals or life at times? What is God up to when he challenged me to start a Bible-believing church when I had the opportunity to take churches already established and made a lot of money in those days? What was God up to? I want you to know, folks, listen to me. I didn't know, but I know what he'll do if you obey him. And I'm not no better than anybody else. I just simply did what I thought was to do. Some of you are doing the same thing. But I didn't see this. But I knew each step God would bless. Even when there was times it looked like he would not bless. What did he do? He saw something I didn't even know. He sees in you. He sees your potential you don't even know. If you give it to him, it's amazing what it'll do for you. It's amazing what it'll do for you. It's amazing what he'll do through you. And folks, listen, you got so much before it. The Lord don't come back for the church. Establish your goals. Establish your career. Do those things, but let God be first. If you will, whatever God leads you to for your potential, to meet your potential, you'd be surprised what's going to happen in your life. So we should always try to find and fit into God's plan, not try to fit him into our plan. Hear me now. We need to find God's plan and fit into that plan as near as we can, but all our faults and failures, and not try to get God and claim and cram it into our plan. God will never fit our plans. He wants us to fit his plans. And he gives us that which is needed. Even today, the service that we're here is reminding us. You know as good as I do. Even sometimes you're not saved, understand. But it makes sense. If God exists, then his plan is the only thing that should matter. And so, the message may apply to all of us and not just to the graduates. So maybe there is someone who needs to start their journey in God's path by becoming a Christian. Romans 10:9-10 gives that. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in the heart God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved, with the heart believe in righteousness, confession made in salvation. Maybe someone needs to go back and get back to the place where God had already started them, but they had strayed away from it. Sometime in the past it was real, but now there's a straying away from it. Well, aren't you glad you had that good spiritual penicillin shot, which is Acts 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So may I say to you, God sets the barometer for you and I to follow in life, to measure us by. And I said something the other night out of the clear blue, but all of a sudden it came a tremendous statement to look at my life now. Maybe more so than when I was young. Because listen, it's so easy. Some of you folks in here telling, maybe not as old as I am, can tell you, it's so easy to look at yesterday and regret some things. And if I do, then it's certainly how that Satan get my mind on regretting the past so I don't look to the future while I'm in the present. And suddenly you find yourself looking back. Keep in mind to regret yesterday, today, while worrying about tomorrow. And that's what happens. If you look at regret of the past and now today you're worrying about tomorrow because you don't want that to happen there, all of a sudden, if you look at the fact that you regret yesterday and today worry about tomorrow, you would destroy today, or Satan will destroy your life today because he got you hung up between brackets. God wants you to know, anything in the past, ask him to forgive you for it. Mean business with God. Don't play with him. Ask him to forgive you for it. And today, set straight and start on the journey to the future and say, God can use me now because I see things. I may falter and I may fail some, but I won't be like I was in the past because who I am now. Amen. That's not bragging. That's giving God glory. That's giving Christ all the glory in the world. So the only thing that matters in this life is to be where God saw where you could have been when you conquer your last enemy that the Bible says is death in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. Could I say that again? I wrote this out early this morning about 3 o'clock. The only thing that matters in this life is to be where God saw where you could be or could have been when you conquered your last enemy. That is when you die and conquered your last enemy as death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 26 tells you that. Then what you would understand that the only thing that matters then is that you're doing as near as you know how what God saw you potential to do. And we get closer to that. If what we do is more what he saw potential to do rather than what we thought we were doing, we're going to come out a whole lot better. Because back here, we'll lose. But from here to where that potential is at, if I'm here and I moved here and I stayed back here, but because I looked for that, if I moved that far, that's how much further I'm close to my potential. And that's how rewards are going to be given out when we get to heaven. So I turn back to, if you will, and look at these two verses of Scripture, and we'll close. Proverbs 3 in verse 5 and 6. If you don't have these marked, mark them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Listen, folks. Please listen from experience. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That doesn't mean that when I'm in a valley, in the hospital, about to die, that means good times too. He didn't clarify that. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That matters. It doesn't matter if things are going good, if things are going bad, if it's worse, whatever, you got some bad news, whatever it is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The circumstance should not change that. And he goes on, he says, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And then if you look in Psalm 16, we will one more time. In Psalm 16, and David said in verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is full of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. What I'm saying to you, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, and Psalm 16, 11, is what he gives us, a general package to obey God. And don't forget, God's path in life works here in eternity. If you're here this morning not saved, please don't let Satan trick you. I know I'm not much of a preacher, folks, but I'm going to tell you about God's love. And I can tell you, he loved you so much, he died for you. I can tell you and prove to you biblically. Don't have to listen to my words. Biblically, he died for you. You don't have to follow Satan. You can have a new course. In all thy ways can acknowledge him. Someone said, I do that in here. Are you a child of God? That has nothing to do with it. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Did you know, in all thy ways acknowledge him. If you're not saved, the only way you can start to acknowledge him is believe what God says about his son. I mean, someone say, I'm not saved, but I can claim that. No, you can't. You bypass the Son. Because if you're going to acknowledge him in all thy ways, you're going to trust Christ as your Savior. Because that's the first way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. It starts at Calvary. Right. Then someone said, you know, preacher, I have trusted the Lord. I've been saved in my life. And I thank God he's forgiven me a lot of things. But there are some things in my back I know for a fact that hindered me now. It's began to come up. And even sometimes when I'm praying or something, it comes to my mind. May I tell you, you don't need Calvary now. You need Calvary not to get saved. You're already saved. You need what Calvary offers in Christ when he said in 1 John 1:9. If thou shalt confess thy mouth, if you confess thy sin with thy mouth, God forgive me. I haven't figured out how to quote it. I quoted it a while ago. He says that. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse from all unrighteousness. Isn't it amazing? See the difference? See why God is so sure about what he says in his word about the saved, about the unsaved. Stand to your feet, please. Father in heaven, bless our young folks today. Bless all of our hearts together as we try our best to open this book and understand it. It's far beyond our physical understanding. We need spiritual life, and we need spiritual understanding. And Father, I can hear all the words I want to hear. God, give me the ability to hear in English language words. But if words are not that which in turn enhances and exalts the truth of God, who Jesus is the very truth, he's the very word. This whole Bible somehow or another reflects towards him. Lord, then it don't do a thing for us. Help someone today, please. If not in this building, by way of radio, or by the Ustream that so many look at in our day. Help them to see they need you. Help them to see, Lord, what is going on in this world today, and religion is so far from what happened at Calvary. Seems like nowadays, Calvary is more so something to give a drama of than to talk about Christ who is Savior. There's many a person who goes to see a drama. Nothing wrong with that if this one gets saved, but Lord, walk away from it and say, boy, that really stirred my heart, but they never trust Christ as their Savior. Then sometimes people see it and they sign a card and say they did trust Christ as their Savior, but it's not the spirit of the moment. Lord, when you trust Christ as our Savior, there's a birth involved, not just a saying, not just a routine in life, not just to put on the coat and try it a few days and see if it works out. For if that happens, everybody will be able to say that it just don't work. But Lord, if we get that new birth, it's like physical life. It works. Help one to see that. And if someone is sent by the wayside somehow along the way, don't let them see that God has outcast them. We all need your help, Lord, every day. Help them to see that God has set a way. 1 John 1:9. We say we're not sinned, we deceived ourselves, but if we confess our sins, He, that is God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. That's just as much true as it was the day we got saved. Help your people see something today. And Father, I pray for these young people. Lord, they may not remember some things now, but when they get a little older and they get a family and they have children, if you should bless them to find a good wife and have children, there's going to be some things that you'll bring back. And I know that now. I didn't know that years ago, but I know that now, because even now I have young men and women sometimes come by years later and they have children old as they were when they were here and say, "Preacher, I remember something you said back yonder years ago. And now I experience it more so now than then because my life has advanced to the place and towards see where I needed that to help me in life." I pray you use this message for the same thing. Help us see, dear Lord, we need you. Your plan works. And may we incorporate that in our lives and try the best that we know how to follow you. Pray about things. Not just about the rain, Lord, that we pray and believe is coming, but our job, our direction. If I take this, if I go this way, if I take this job, if I do, Lord, will this lead me from you or let me get closer to you? The only thing that matters is what we do for you. Thank you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.